We have Alita Miranda Wolf with us. She is the CEO and founder of Chicago-based Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, talent.com. She has a new book coming out, Cultures of Belonging, Building Inclusive Organizations That Last. It'll be out in mid-February. She is a specialist in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I've got her degree from Georgetown. And she basically helps organizations and the people inside of them understand their relationship with power, how to use it responsibly, how to share, and how to create conditions so that everybody will thrive. And in the great era of resignation, I thought there couldn't be anybody better to have on the show today. Alita, so nice to talk to you. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's exciting to be able to talk with you in your second career. I know you from Best Money Moves. It's very interesting to hear your voice on the radio.
I know my kids have always said that they knew they were in real trouble when mom put on radio voice. But, you know, I think that people, it's interesting. I think bosses talk in ways that might be like their version of radio voice to their employees. And I think what I like best about what you've built, Alita, is that you really rethink the whole way that employees and bosses talk to each other. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that, because I think what we all need here is a dose of optimism. Everybody's gotten very settled in working from home, those of us who can, which is a big part. Employers keep wanting us to come back to the office. People don't want to. Maybe because there is this, or you tell me, why is it that you think people are so reticent to go back?
There are a few reasons. So for one, when we think about going back, there is general health anxiety that is continuing, and many organizations don't have a plan in place. So if we think about the Omicron variant and the fact that this is exactly happening at the time when most offices that are going to be bringing folks back into the office or to hybrid conditions are asking people to come back, many of them have conflicting policies around vaccinations, around COVID testing, around masks. And when we think about who the employee population is, it's really important to look at who is the great resignation affecting and who wants to stay at home. So one of the things that I think is most interesting from 2020 is that if we're thinking about who was most subject to leaving the workforce, it is people who identify as women, and the majority of them being caregivers. That might be to kids, that might be to sick relatives or aging parents or some other chosen family. We're anticipating right now, based on the latest U.S. Labor Bureau statistics, that we're going to lose 2 million women from the workforce in the next 2 years. And that's the corporate workforce.
Yeah, that's a crazy number. It's such a crazy number. I think we have to stop there. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want you to break that down for us a little bit, because we've lost so many women already, and the idea that we're going to lose another 2 million women in the workforce just seems inconceivable to me as an employer of mostly women. But we'll have to dig into all of that coming up in just a minute. Welcome back, everybody, to the John Williams Show. I'm Elise Glink. We are talking with Alita Miranda Wolf. She's the CEO and founder of Ethos. The website is ethostalent.com, and she's the author of the forthcoming book, Cultures of Belonging, Building Inclusive Organizations That Last, which is going to be published mid-February. Alita, we were talking just before the break about how another 2 million women will be opting out of the workforce. And one of our listeners texted in and said, but there are 10,000 people who retire every day, and a lot of those are women. Is this above and beyond that number? And my feeling is that you're going to say yes, but is it?
It is the largest exodus of women we've seen from the workforce since soldiers came back from overseas during World War II. This is absolutely an anomaly. We've never seen numbers like this in our century. And if we think about why this is happening, it's actually really tied to why I started Ethos as a business. And it has to do with the fact that when we are thinking about the demands of different identities, caregiving responsibilities tend to fall on women, and our workplaces are not built or optimized for that. So if we think about returning to the office, if you're worried that your daycare or your kid's school is going to be closed because of a COVID outbreak every 2 weeks, there's not going to be recourse for you. At least with work from home, there's a little bit more flexibility in your schedule. But if you have to be commuting back and forth between an office, that's not going to be the case. So what we want to keep in mind is we have to design for multiple identities in our working environments. And a lot of our working environments are operating on policies and codes that existed 30, 40, 50 years ago when we had very different structures and employee populations in place. When I started Ethos, what I was responding to was all of these tech startups that came from VC. And when I worked in VC, I was the first one ever.
We should just say VC is venture capital for those of us who are not sort of in that world. And when you worked in venture capital, you're helping to grow young startups into larger companies. So just throwing
exactly
that in there.
That's exactly right.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for the clarification there, Elise. So when I was working in venture capital, I was the first woman ever hired. I was the only Latina person working in VC venture capital in the city of Chicago, one of 27 in the U.S., and I was also the youngest person in my role nationally. And so what I was noticing was even the advice we were giving to startups about how to grow their businesses didn't take into account generational differences, race, ethnicity, ability, gender identity, sexual orientation. These pieces weren't built in. And the question I was asking is, how do we create the conditions for everyone to thrive at work? Which is ultimately what led to founding Ethos, where along with my 9 team members, we are constantly thinking about what are the structures, processes, and practices we can put in place. Because if we think about what's happening with women in the workforce, and we're seeing similar trends, especially on the basis of racial identity, not only gender identity, what we're seeing is that it's not people having negative intentions or wanting to X these people out of the workforce. On the contrary, this is a time when employers want to keep their employees more than ever. And the folks making the decisions often aren't coming from those identities, those responsibilities, or those ways of doing things. And so it's not automatic or organic for them. And that's what we are really advocating for in our firm. And when I look at the Great Resignation and I see organizations that are having really strong retention versus low retention, I can see that there's just a difference in the way that they are structuring how the business operates. And that is actually a core tenet of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging.
You know, so Alita, when I think about different generations in the workforce, and there's now 5 in many companies. You've got sort of legacy people in their 70s all the way down to people in their late teens and very early 20s, the Gen Zs. You know, it feels like there's just a difference in how these generations have to learn to talk to each other in the workforce. And there was a funny story in the, I think it was the New York Times or the Washington Post a few months ago, about how older millennials who are now 40 are a little afraid to talk to Gen Zs. They're afraid that what they say might be misconstrued. How do you deal with that when you're talking and working with companies and doing different kinds of things in the workforce?
So one of the things to keep in mind is that there are always going to be generational differences, and this is not different from how it was in the past. What is different is our current moment. So the workplace that existed in the past doesn't exist anymore. And so when it comes to communication and conversation, there are 2 tools that I think are absolutely essential for bridging any kind of divide or gap or difference. The first is really focusing on a tool called dialogue and resonance. So dialogue is just really disciplined talk that's focused on creating something together. So I'm not here to win a debate or convince you. I want to learn with you. And the way that you engage in dialogue is through resonance statements. So if you are, let's say, an older millennial talking to a Gen Z employee or colleague, what you can think about here is look for what in what they're saying resonates with you. And use statements like, what really resonates with me is X. What's really landing with me is Y. I can see why you feel that way. So it's validation without agreement, which leads to deeper conversation and is fundamentally inoffensive as a manner of speaking. The other way to communicate is to really focus on this principle of being more committed to learning than being right in asking broad, non-leading questions. I think it was something that came up in Daniel Coyle's research on healthy cultures, but 60% of conversations are driven by questions, and yet less than 6% of conversations are made up of questions. So in thinking about these divides...
Go back a second. So 60% of conversation is made up of questions? Is that what you said?
What produces the content of a conversation is a question. So if we're talking to each other, 60% of what we say is going to be based on a question you or I ask. But the likelihood of that conversation being made up of more than 6% of questions is very low. In other words, we don't ask a whole lot of questions, but they're what produce the conversation to begin with.
So in a workforce, though, and this is something that I've experienced, sometimes you have to just tell people what to do. And I'm finding, and people find in business that, they don't want to be told what to do. They just want to know what to do. But sometimes you don't know how to do that. And that is confusing amongst generations. How do you help companies get beyond that?
For one, it's important to remember that there is information asymmetry that needs to be corrected for. When I observe conversations for our audits, one of the things that I notice is it's clear to me that there's going to be a miscommunication between, let's say, a manager and their employee. The manager is telling the employee to do something, but providing incomplete information. They're referencing meetings the employee wasn't in. They're referencing tools the employee might not know. They're referencing context that the employee doesn't have. And so taking a step back and thinking, what is all of the information I can give up front is helpful. Because if you look at people at work, most people want to perform. They want to do well. And they just need to know how to do that. But there are a lot of assumptions happening. So ultimately, what needs to happen is a lot more communication that's more linear and clear. And that's going to be able to translate across different groups.
It's so interesting. Alita Miranda Wolf is the CEO and founder of a company called Ethos. And you've been growing. Are you 5 years old now?
We're 4 years old in April.
4 years old in April. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's delightful to have you on. I love promoting Chicago companies. The company is called Ethos, ethostalent.com. And her book that's coming out is Cultures of Belonging, Building Inclusive Organizations That Last. It's set to be out in mid-February. Alita, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And Happy New Year to you. And congratulations. We understand your own personal office family is growing.
That's right. I am expecting in May.
Well, we hope that goes well as also. Thank you so much for being with us today.